SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
See it to believe it. The newest revolution in TV technology. Now at Harvey Norman. RGB. Changing the way you view. See colours that are brighter, deeper and more vivid. Watch movies with ultra-realistic picture quality, making them more cinematic than ever before. Play smarter with real-time gaming optimization. Incredible clarity every time you press play. Built-in AI assistants such as Samsung's Vision AI, as well as Gemini and Copilot, can automatically adjust picture and sound quality and remove audio commentary, putting your focus on the game. Alongside content analysis, searches and more, your entertainment experience can be truly customized. Experience the new 2026 TV lineup.
Gonsalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Friday, the 15th of May 2026, a day where the Australian share market fell for the week. It's down 1.3%. We'll have the details later with Todd Warren from Tribeca Investment Partners. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. We go into more detail of the top consumer finance and market news stories covered during On The Money on SBS World News. But first to your career. The resume may not be dead, but an increasing number of job hunters are using artificial intelligence to write one. A survey of 60,000 global white-collar workers by recruiters at Michael Page found two-thirds used AI to tailor their CVs and tightened language. While more than half of hiring managers are also using it to write job descriptions and interview questions. Experts warn, though, the use of the technology can go too far. For more, Stephanie Youssef spoke with Michael Page, Senior Managing Director of Australia, David George.
So, David, is the traditional resume becoming obsolete and why?
Stephanie, no, I wouldn't say it's becoming obsolete, but I would say the relevance of it is diminishing somewhat. You know, we from the survey we did, which was 60,000 white-collar workers globally, some 70% are using AI to polish their CV. So it's starting to look, CVs are starting to all look very, very similar. And on the flip side, we found that 57% of hiring managers were using AI on the hiring process as well. So, yeah, the whole process is looking similar. CVs are looking similar. So not obsolete, but definitely the relevance of the CV is definitely diminishing from our side.
If it is diminishing and in the future we do need to replace it, what do we replace it with?
Yeah, it's a good question, Steffi. I don't think anyone has come up with a silver bullet yet, unfortunately. And we're all thinking, what will that look like? I think the resume, the CV is here to stay. And I do think people are going to continue to use AI to polish it. So it's really just thinking about what can you put into your resume or your CV to stand out? What is going to make you stand out that can't be produced by AI? And that's really looking at your personal influences. What have you done? Your personal achievements. Really focusing on those sorts of things. How did you influence this situation? How did you take the organization forward there? Making it personal so that you can stand out from the crowd. Things that the AI generated tools can't put on your CV. Think about that to make yourself stand out from a personal perspective.
Why do you think major companies are now valuing communication, adaptability and cultural fit over degrees and, you know, big name employers?
There's a couple of reasons behind that, Stephanie, as I see it. Look, those skills you talk about, their communication and influencing and so on, they're the things that the machine can't replace. They're the skills that we are looking for in the future. Who knows where AI will go and so on and so forth. But at the moment, they're the skills. How does someone deal with this curveball? How does someone communicate in this difficult situation or under pressure here? They're the sort of skills that we are looking for in the workforce because they cannot be replaced by machines. So that's one of the reasons why we're now focusing on what we call skills-based hiring and looking at those skills rather than necessarily the big names or who you worked under. There is a second reason as well, Stephanie, why I feel this is the case. And that's because careers are becoming a lot less linear. Now there's new job titles out there. So for example, we recruit a lot of accounting and finance positions, and the linear career path would be assistant accountant to accountant to financial accountant to finance manager and so on and so forth. Well, careers aren't necessarily so linear now. There's new job titles coming in on the back of AI and digital, you know, chief security officers and AI auditor and so on and so forth and different roles in DE&I. people haven't got those skill sets or backgrounds. So what we need to look for is people who have the ability to adapt and learn those skills moving forward rather than what they've done before, because these new job types, people haven't done, it just doesn't work in a linear way that it used to.
You mentioned more people are using AI to create their resumes. With about two-thirds of the job seekers that you surveyed using AI to improve their CVs, do you think interviews are now the most important part of the hiring process?
Absolutely, Stephanie. We talk about it in our report that the interviews are very much doing the heavy lifting. That's where when you get in front of someone, that's how you put across what your softer skills are, your human skills. And I think that is becoming more and more important. And we're also seeing, Stephanie, on the back of this, that the interview process, the face-to-face interview process, is changing as well. And I talked about the skills-based hiring. And what we're seeing is instead of just asking people to list what they did or their responsibilities or achievements or what are your strengths, all those traditional interview questions, we're seeing a lot more case studies and assessments being used by employers to really put people in scenarios and see how they deal with that situation. So, I recruited a role in Western Australia recently where it's very much around that, where we put people through case studies. And the person we thought was going to be the best person for the job, once we went through the case study, we actually chose a different applicant to move forward and ultimately be successful in that position. So these case studies and assessments are becoming much more the norm, but the interview is where the heavy lifting is being done rather than the application process, which can look a bit generic.
What do you think the future of the workplace and the hiring process will look like, and what kind of impact will AI have on that?
It's not going anywhere, Stephanie. That's the reality. It's only going to continue to increase the usage of AI. So, look, I don't think there's going to be any changes there. And I encourage people, you should be using these AI tools when you're creating your CV and your resume. It makes sense. But we have to remember AI enabled, but still very much people driven, people powered. So we need to continue to remember that. What could it mean? I mean, if we keep going down this pathway where you can't necessarily tell a good applicant from a bad applicant, there is a danger that we're going to start getting more and more people in the wrong job. And the best applicant may not even be getting through to interview stage. So you could be missing out on the best person for the job by using too many AI tools. So we've got to be very careful on that. And if that does happen, if you start getting the wrong people into the jobs, then you'll find people are a lot tougher during the probation period. You'll have people going into the jobs and maybe not getting past the probation period. So, yeah, I think it's a time to just have a little bit of a thought behind that. And let's make sure we're doing everything to make sure the best person is getting the job rather than using AI tools that may cut a few corners and make the volumes very high, but ultimately you're not getting the best person for the job in the seat. That's not a good situation for anyone.
That's Stephanie Yusuf there speaking with David George from Michael Page.
See it to believe it. The newest revolution in TV technology. Now at Harvey Norman. RGB. Changing the way you view. See colours that are brighter, deeper and more vivid. Watch movies with ultra-realistic picture quality, making them more cinematic than ever before. Play smarter with real-time gaming optimization. Incredible clarity every time you press play. Built-in AI assistants such as Samsung's Vision AI, as well as Gemini and Copilot, can automatically adjust picture and sound quality and remove audio commentary, putting your focus on the game. Alongside content analysis, searches and more, your entertainment experience can be truly customized. Experience the new 2026 TV lineup at Harvey Norman today.
SBS unearths the secret pasts of eight famous Australians.
This is a big moment.
In a brand new season.
Oh my God, I've been dying for this.
Who do you think you are? Stream now on SBS On Demand.
Let's take a look at the Australian share market now, where the S&P ASX 200 fell 0.1% as profit-taking in the miners dragged the index. BHP down 2.6%, Rio Tinto off by 3.2%, but both did hit record highs yesterday. The tech sector bounced back following Thursday's sell-off, and the banks also recovered. It was a huge week for the market, though, with local and international events lowering the ASX 200 by 1.3% for the week. For more, especially about the impact on the resources sector, I spoke with Tribeca Investment Partners portfolio manager, Todd Warren. Todd, it's been a huge week for global markets with the Middle East conflict, the US-China leadership meeting, a new US Federal Reserve chair, and here the federal budget. From your perspective, what's had the greatest impact on the outlook for both the markets and the resources sector?
Yeah, there's a couple of big factors in there, Ricardo. Obviously, the Middle East conflict continues and continues to push around the oil price in particular. Obviously, we wait with bated breath for any sort of resolution on that front, and obviously the flow of oil re-establishing across the world. With regards to obviously the meeting between Xi and Trump, that has much broader consequences, I think, with regards to not just obviously the Iran conflict, but also the broader flow of commodities between the two nations, and of course the impact on tech as well, and the negotiations around Taiwan.
We often think of geopolitical instability as negative for markets, but can periods like this actually benefit parts of the resources sector? I guess it's interesting to see, for example, here locally, the likes of BHP overtake the Commonwealth Bank this week to become Australia's largest listed company.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Certainly in our view, what we're seeing is greater recognition of the strategic value of commodities. It's a fact that we've been talking to for quite some time, but it's only really been in recent months, or indeed in the last 12 months, where there's greater recognition that the strategic value of commodities is actually very high. Certainly, you know, with regards to what I touched on just a moment ago on the Xi-Trump negotiations, China is obviously a hugely dominant force in the supply of many commodities, and importantly, many of those commodities that are crucial for both tech applications, but also the electrification, broader electrification thematic. And Trump is clearly keen to secure a significant share of those resources that might come from China, but also within that broader geopolitical conversation, the US is clearly looking to diversify away from China in terms of its supply of those commodities that it needs, not just for tech, but of course also for the defence applications as well. And of course, what's going on in the Middle East has only brought that into stark contrast.
Now, you manage a strategy focused on resources. So in this environment, where are you currently seeing the strongest long-term opportunities for the sector?
Yeah, look, I've touched on a few of them. I mean, copper continues to be a big part of our portfolio. We think there's been an increasing understanding, albeit still a long way to go, with regards to the challenges on supply of copper. I've talked about, you know, the touched on earlier, that demand factor, where, you know, copper is a big factor in electrification, whether it's wiring or high-speed, high-voltage cables. The reality is we just don't have enough supply. And with the huge ramp-up in demand that we expect to occur, you know, in the next 10, 20 years, the reality is we can't really see how that supply comes to market easily, certainly not at the prices that we're at today. So we're certainly very much exposed to that increase in supply, increase in pricing that we expect from copper in the years to come. The other area of our portfolio is those sort of critical metals. You know, we've got that rollout of lithium batteries that's, you know, developing another head of steam now. But we also like those esoteric commodities, the galliums, the germaniums, and perhaps even the rare earths, where again the supply is dominated by China, but the rest of the Western world will continue, in our view, to seek alternative sources of supply, but that will have to come with higher prices.
That is Todd Warren from Tribeca Investment Partners, and he wraps up the podcast for this Friday and for the week. Give it a like, a review, and subscribe if you enjoy it. Don't forget you can watch On The Money during the SBS World News 6:30 edition weeknight. The podcast returns on Monday. It drops after the market closes every weekday, and I'll see you then.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
See it to believe it. The newest revolution in TV technology. Now at Harvey Norman. RGB. Changing the way you view. See colours that are brighter, deeper, and more vivid.
Watch movies with ultra-realistic picture quality, making them more cinematic than ever before. Play smarter with real-time gaming optimization. Incredible clarity every time you press play. Built-in AI assistants such as Samsung's Vision AI, as well as Gemini and Copilot, can automatically adjust picture and sound quality and remove audio commentary, putting your focus on the game. Alongside content analysis, searches and more, your entertainment experience can be truly customized. Experience the new 2026 TV lineup at Harvey Norman today.